All right, another week, same old show. The Audible, Kim Bocamp, Joe Rose, John Congemi with you. And hey, you know what's nice about it? What's nice right now, guys? You can actually go out and see guys playing football.
Oh, it's nice.
Actually, beautiful. Go out and, you know, and they got OTAs. All the veterans are there. The rookies are there together. And start to see this team coming together. Get a chance to see the new guys. Danny Amendola, get to see him. And early on, and John, I know you got to peek out there a little bit. He and Bobby McCain reacquainted themselves
really quickly during practice.
It didn't take long.
It did. Well, it took a little bit longer than I expected, maybe. But they got to introduce each other during one of the team drills. It was beautiful. It was great.
That is going to be very competitive. There are two guys, and going back and forth in New England and Miami last year. We're going to see a lot more. That's going to be a competitive camp coming up.
It's going to make both of those guys. It's going to make both sides of the football more competitive.
It's going to make everybody better. When you got two guys, or when you got a guy, or guys that are competitive out there, Joe, I go back to the days when we had the Don McNeil and Paul Langford and those guys, and they're playing against Duper and Clayton and Duriel Harris, and even going back early in the league when you guys were playing against Paul Warfield. You know, right. You had Curtis Johnson back there and Tim you know, all those guys. I think anybody has played at any level of football, and you're playing against someone good, you know it's going to make you better. And they got enough guys out here, and they've changed the dynamic of the team from a thought standpoint and from the way guys want to be proactive. And I think there's going to be a lot of those competitions like that. Defensive front, offensive line, wide receivers, the linebackers, tight ends. I think this training camp, these OTAs, mini camp, and when you get into training camp, all those positions are going to be just dogfights out there.
Well, and the other thing is, this is just me. Maybe you guys disagree. So all this talk about who's going to be in the nickel and dime packages, everybody seems to forget. Maybe it's just me. I don't hear about Bobby McCain every time. And no, I think Bobby McCain is going, listen, man, I was pretty good last year. Yep. I'm going to make sure you know that I'm going to get a new contract out of this because I'm going to play my ass off. And I know we talk about had to play outside. He was really good. I thought he played great inside in the slot. And so, yeah, he's playing for a lot. He got a little chip on his shoulder and wants to keep rolling here.
He was leaps and bounds better than he was the year before. I mean, it wasn't even close.
One of the most improved players
no doubt
on this team last
year. And you know, you could almost watch it from week to week. The better he played, the more confident he got, the more aggressive he got, the more chances he would take. And that's what you want out of whether he's a cornerback, whether he's an inside nickel guy, whether he's one of your safeties, to have that confidence to be able to take chances. Because if you never take chances as a DB, you're never going to make game-changing plays out there.
And I think you guys noticed this doing all the games and watching him play from the year before. He made a lot of plays where he was on his feet in 2017. His hands were on the football. Mm-hmm. 2016, it was one of those things where he was there in position, but it was a lot of diving, a lot of ground. You know, he was on the ground a lot.
Away.
You know, and I think he improved as a pro. He learned his position and he learned his technique, and I think he got better at that, which allowed him to use his quickness in his speed, because that's what he brought as a collegiate from Memphis.
Yeah.
He was quick on the edge. He played corner. He was a bastard when they tried to throw those quick screens outside. He'd get a hand on it, or it's going the other way, or you know, he'd make it tough.
Yeah.
And I think he learned how to play that position, going from outside to inside and staying on his feet a little bit more. He was around a lot more passes last season.
And I'll tell you what, you take a makeup of a team. Give me 53 guys like Bobby McCain. You know, give me because this guy, he's a fun guy. He's one of the guys that, like, you know, he's one of the locker room guys that keeps things light, keep things going. But when he steps on the field, he's all about getting better, and making the people around him better. So I'm with you, Joe. I think he's going to play a big factor in how this spreads out. But we've talked about this plenty of times. You know, it's almost rare that on the first down of a game, you see base formation, one tight end,
not gonna see it
two
very
backs.
Much at all.
You don't see it anymore. You see. You
know, three wide.
Three wide, four
nickel,
wide, empty backfield,
package.
Everything you can see out there. The game really has changed so dramatically that and you look at with the spread option, you know, the read option. It all comes out of a spread offense. You know, no more those old days of the fullback back there and the tailback back there and I formation or split backs
the pro
or whatever.
Set is
those are few and far between. Now it's exotic, unless three guys, you know, the group on one side, tight end split on the other side, all those different things that give coaches and John, you're a quarterback. You certainly know more than I do about this offensively. Joe, you were an offensive player. But I just think the game now at its heart is all about matchups and how do we get the best matchup, be it either offensively or defensively?
It is. And it not only, Bo, not only does it – it extends from the wide outs and the lack of tight ends or splitting out the tight ends or one backs. It's about slowing down the best players on defense,
yep,
the corners and the defensive ends. Because when you have that zone read and you put that bait out, which is the football – there's that
hesitation.
It's a little bit of a hesitation or that split second of uncertainty for the edge of your defense.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a guy that can actually move at the quarterback position and you're in that type of offense, you have to pump the brakes a little bit. It's not going 100 miles an hour off the edge. So it expands from the matchups to the matchup at quarterback,
the matchup
running
inside,
back.
Yeah. Hey. Look, I've been in those situations before. Again, in college, played teams that ran the option. You know, certainly we got the NFL. You didn't play teams that ran the option, but they ran some types of those little things. And I was always an outside guy, so I always had that responsibility. I either had the quarterback or the pitch man, right, when we were playing against options. And you watch it all the time. You watch it in college. You see the Georgia Techs. You see Army.
Absolutely.
You see Navy. You see how difficult it is because, guys, you know, as much as you work on it, as much as you got to be disciplined, and as disciplined, look, I don't care what that quarterback's going to do, I'm staying with the pitch man no matter what. I'm not going to buy that little dip in and take that. Because once you take that one step, half a step.
You lose leverage.
It's over. You're
gone.
You're done.
Right.
And so, but you're right. That matchup there at that corner, if you got a guy that's not committed to what he's doing and he bites the cheese there a little bit, leaves the big play, whether he goes upfield or tries to close it out and let the ball come out, it's a tough situation out there.
How about you throw that in with hurry up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now
tempo.
Everybody wants to speed up. Now everybody wants to get online, so you can't make adjustments, especially if it's in the favor of the offense.
Yep.
You're stuck. They're getting right back on. You can't get the guys you want out in personnel if you want to make adjustments. So there's a lot. The game is really changing, and you got to keep up with it. I think that's a lot of what Adam Gase has on this offense.
Well, I think we saw some of that, Joe, back in 2016 when before Ryan got hurt, where Ryan was comfortable with the offense, Coach Gase was comfortable. And, you know, and I remember talking to Coach Gase about it. He said, look, a hurry-up offense isn't so much about let's get up there and snap the ball. A lot of times you say, let's get to the line of scrimmage, let the defense declare something, and then we'll play off of that. We'll make calls at the line of scrimmage, do this and that. And I know that's what he wanted to do there. And then all of a sudden when Ryan gets hurt, and certainly with Jay Cutler, he wasn't going to run that type, although he tried a little bit to run it. But I think getting Ryan back is going to go a long way to Adam getting to where he wants to be within this hurry-up offense.
It brings you to more continuity with your play calling. You get comfortable with what that guy likes, what he can do, what he excels at, and it makes the defense get in shape. It makes the defense line up. When you're over the ball and you have the threat of snapping it, that defense has to declare. They have to line up. And in communication on the defensive side starts to have a little bit of conflict.
Yep.
Who's our matchup? Who's out on number two? Who's out on number three? Wait a minute, hold on. And now they're let's just go base.
Timeout.
Base or a timeout.
Well, but look, the flip side is you know you see teams now Joe and John defensively that are creating that they're standing out there and they got five guys on the line of scrimmage. They're all standing up. They're standing up. They're moving
That's
around.
Right.
They know what they're going to do.
Identification.
They're just going to move around, and then when the cadence starts, then they're going to find their spots. So they're not giving that offense a pre-read, especially from a defensive front linebacker standpoint to what they're doing. And obviously, you got the DBs that are disguising what they're going to do. And so it's really become a different chess game to who's going to be at the line of scrimmage and who's going to dictate the pre-snap reads at the line of scrimmage, whether it's going to be the quarterback or whether the defense is going to force that situation where, hey, you're not going to know what we're going to do until just before the snap.
I just think it always gives the offense an advantage. If you're lining up and you have the threat of going fast and you can snap the football before there's maybe 10, 9, 8 seconds left on the play clock, because the quarterback's looking at the play clock. But you know what happens now? Defensive tackles are looking and going,
no doubt.
There's only 4 seconds left. I'm about ready to get in my stance and come as hard as I can because it's either a delay a game or I'm going to time this up perfect.
Well, you also see, defense play. And I remember this with Bill Arnsberg he was just one of the best, or if you're a player, one of the worst at it. He would want to wait till that last second. He wanted to see if that
disguise.
DB was going to cheat or something. He wanted to try to get a read. And we'd be sitting there and we're coming. We're all standing in line of scrimmage going, come on, you call something.
Right.
Just call something,
Right.
And so and then you start MFing him. Damn it. Now tell him. got to make a call. And then we're standing in line. Gonna, don't even, then now we're fighting within. We're fighting within the huddle. You know. Now you run over. Coach, damn it, make a call. You know. Be quiet. You know.
I got this handled.
But it's funny those games. It's, you know, and we talked about it when we had Adam Gase in here. One of the things I really enjoy about watching Adam play, watching Adam coach, and I get the opportunity to be on the sideline close watching him, is just that battle between him and that defensive coordinator. It's the same thing. It's that chess match within a game that those guys play. I know he knows I'm going to do this. Maybe I should try that. I just enjoy watching that you can almost read their mind, both of them, you know?
Well, he always has to be – you always feel like you want to be a step ahead. So you've got a play called, but you're thinking of, okay, successful, where am I going with it? Incomplete, two-yard gain, where am I going? What formation do I want to get into? What personnel do I want to be in? And these guys play this – I would think the play callers, the good ones – And all of them, no matter how much success an offense has, they're going through this ritual every day.
Yep.
They're watching so much film and so many things. And, hey, I like what the Jets did or New England did in that situation. I'm going to see how we can put that in to what crafted into our mold of what we do offensively, because I'd like to attack that way. Yep. So they're getting ideas, and they're always playing that game in their head every day at practice.
Yeah. Guys, when this all said and done, this whole season – is going back to
17.
There's no question about it.
I mean, we talk about all these things, and Adam's going to run things that Ryan likes. He said it over and over again. Yep. I can put in something I like. If Ryan goes, don't feel comfortable with it, not good at it, I think he works hard at everything, they're going to be on the same page. But this thing stays on. This guy staying healthy and being productive, well, and that's how far this group's going.
You look at, you know, there's so much talk about going into the draft, getting a quarterback to come in and kind of press Ryan a little bit, or at least give you a backup guy that's not a guy that's a potential guy, a guy that has a legitimate chance at some point to overtake or certainly put the pressure on that quarterback situation. But you know, once they decide – and look, I believe that if it wasn't Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, they didn't want either one of those guys from California. I don't think they were interested in those guys. So when those guys were gone, it was done. But – now you look at the backup, and it's almost like it's, you know, to me, they pretty much put all their eggs in one basket in Ryan Tannehill, because Brock Osweiler, Bryce Petty, David Fales, I don't see any of those guys being able to come in if Ryan were to go down and do any better, maybe worse than we saw from Jay Cutler last year coming in. And look, Jay, you know, for all the grief that Jay got, part of it, you know, was his own making. You know, you're asking the guy to come into an offense, you know, training camp's already, you know, almost, you know, 2 weeks in. Now you got to come in 2 weeks. We got game time coming up. Yeah.
This guy's getting ready to do games on Fox, and he goes, wait a sec, $10 million for you? I'm coming back, coach.
Yeah, it's easy to turn the switch back on monetarily, but physically and mentally, it's very difficult.
Especially when you got different terminology or different things they're doing, different personnel. Tough. Hey, speaking about personnel and OTAs, I think one of the things that everybody else is looking forward to, other than Ryan Tannehill, at least on a defensive side, man, I'm looking forward to seeing Raekwon McMillan get back in and see. You know, he kind of teased us last year, and you know, they had to break this kid's heart, because Joe, we've seen him this offseason. This kid is working. He's a leader out there.
He's already a leader. Hasn't played it down, and he's getting guys going. Man, he's making sure this is business. You guys have all said this. It's like having an extra rookie.
Yep.
It's like we got extra second draft pick,
extra
with
draft
Raekwon
choice
coming back.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what he looks like in there. And Joe, you know, these guys always look different physically the second year, because now they've got into an NFL conditioning program, lifting all the stuff. Because I mean, and all of a sudden you look at these guys and you go, man, every guy's a beast now.
Yeah.
You know?
There's not many distractions, I don't think, when you get to that level and you're able to do it on a daily basis. And you look around and you see other people that you want to emulate. Hey, that guy takes care of his body. Look at Cam Wake. Yeah. That guy does it right. How can I even get close to that in year two, which is actually year one for me? But I've got a jump start. I almost had a redshirt year to get my body right, to get my leg right. And I think the one thing, and even when we talked to Jerome Baker a week ago about Raekwon, is that he's always been the leader. And if you always wanted to see how to do it right, you looked at Raekwon when he was at Ohio State. That's a big thing for this defense, to have a young guy that can be in the middle of the defense and me in charge, that does it right or trying to get everybody right every play. that you know you've got a guy you can build around.
That being said, though, he comes in. There's still that one linebacker position out there. You got Kiko on one side. You got Raekwon probably going to be the Mike linebacker there. And then other guy, and it's got to be Jerome. It's somebody in that group, you know, whether it's Chase Allen, whether it's Jerome Baker, whether it's any of these other guys they got out there. Someone's got to fill that spot, that linebacker spot. And I think the assumption is going to be Jerome Baker comes in and starts. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does. But, man, they can't go into that season. They can't go into the season limping at that linebacker spot with that one odd linebacker out there that really it right now is not set in stone.
I wonder how much Raekwon will play, though, Bo, with all these different passing packages. Well, might be the least amount of any of those linebackers
Raekwon
cover a little bit.
Raekwon, Jerome, and Kiko, if they're the starting three, yeah, Raekwon's going to be the odd man
first
out
guy.
Most of the time. He may play
20%
plays a game.
Yeah.
You know, which leads to, if you're going to play 20 plays a game, do you run them down on special teams after you got hurt that you're, you know.
Well, that's I think you're going to have a lot of guys dressed at that position normal.
My rookie year, I blew my knee out on my very opening kickoff in the Orange Bowl, second preseason game we played and missed the whole season. Same thing as Raekwon. And I know this, the only thing good that came out of it, I never saw a special team again.
That was good. It is a great question, though, because they've got all these linebackers in. We drafted other guys. Yeah. We got rookie free agents for preseason.
Yeah.
I wonder how much we'll see Raekwon on special teams.
But, Joe, I mean, you know how it is now. I mean, it's all about play count, too. You know, geez, you know, I mean, you know, can we keep a guy here that's only playing 20 to 25 plays a game? You know, when you got these other guys that are playing, you know,
right.
60 plays, 50 plays. I mean, you know, back in the days when you really didn't have rotations, I mean, you always played, you know, I always figured 60 games was 60 plays was about the average. You may play 55, you may play 75, depending on how it's going. But 60 was always the benchmark, I thought, for snaps per game that you play. And now they're trying to get guys in different as many snaps on the field, including special team situations. So, yeah, it does. If you got a line – I keep going back to Paul Solei. When Paul Solei kept wanting money, I said I wouldn't pay him the money. Why wouldn't you pay him
30,
the money?
Yeah.
Because you know he's a first down guy. If he if he helps stop the offense for 2 yards or less, he's standing next to me all the time.
Right. Pretty good motivation.
I'm standing on the sideline. I'm looking over and going, "Geez, this guy's making a hell of a lot of money, and he's playing one play a series."
A run stopper.
You know.
I'd be interested to see how Raekwon goes through OTAs, but more importantly, training camp
and the
schemes and where they have him line up when it is nickel and dime. If he's off the field, or they give him a shot and saying, "Hey, let's see what you can do as a cover guy."
Well, I ain't the smartest guy, but if they're talking about playing three safeties, I'm guessing that doesn't mean corners are going to be out.
No.
That's going to be linebackers.
Yeah.
If he's really going to play this three safety package that we've been hearing about for the last month,
you may have one linebacker out there. Although the best cover guy of those three. Maybe
we haven't even talked
there.
About Anthony, you know, the guy that came in last year.
Stephon Anthony.
So we'll see, you know, how he adds into the mix if that's the scheme where Raekwon is coming out in those situations.
Hey, you guys can always catch us this podcast. I did your show the other day, Joe, which I enjoyed a great deal doing your show
thank
in the morning.
You were pumping it up, too. Thank you.
Yeah, throughout
thank
there.
Thank you. That was
Apple
good.
Music. You even
I trying to get you to get all your bars and all your restaurants, and you were doing how to drop the show, man.
This is when it drops. This is when you got it. You can check it out on Dolphins.com, Miami Dolphins mobile app, TuneIn Radio. You can stick your head out sometimes when we're doing this. If you drive by training camp, and you can probably hear our loud houses just from talking.
No
just
question.
Going through the walls and shit.
The
like
students
that.
Here get it for free. No, it's not easy. Yeah.
They don't need it.
Anyway, and we always drop on
Facebook.
Thursdays.
The other card.
I'm dropping. I'm sorry. We might be dropping today. What are you dropping this week?
I don't know.
I choked.
I heard that voice come out, and I was looking at the table.
Logan,
am I asking the table a question here? And I'm getting that kind of answer.
I was thinking what day it was, Bo. I'm sorry, man.
Hey,
what day are we dropping?
Thursday.
Thursday still? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, today.
It's been Thursday every week.
Oh, man.
Week,
it's been Seattle
every
here.
Week. And of all the things I give you, I've been trying to stick these where you can see the podcast, and it just goes like, your eyes just start spinning.
I still can't remember.
But I always count on you for Thursday.
I just got a text from AJ Dewey. He said Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh. And by the way, and we'll get to some of these questions. In fact, we might get to some of these questions now. You can go ahead and get your questions in through Facebook or Twitter through Periscope, Facebook, Miami Dolphins Facebook page. Get your questions in. And we've done a pretty good job the last couple weeks of, or at least last week, of getting them in. So here's where we're at. This is phase three of the offseason program. It's the next 4 weeks of the program. Teams can conduct a total of 10 days of organized team practice activities or OTAs. Now these are even changed, right? No live contact.
Right.
You're
trying to stay off the ground. Yeah. You're able to do your basic team drills, yeah, but everybody's kind of patting everybody when they next to them.
Not a walkthrough.
But an up-tempo. It was up-tempo.
So you're telling me you can do 7-on-7, 1-on-1 drills,
yes,
in pass.
Yes, absolutely. And they did some team stuff. I'm yeah, sure that they're going to get into that. And it's just that they want to get going. And the thing that impresses me the most about how the pros are really and how you work, yeah, is everybody's up. There's not many bodies that are touching the ground.
Yeah.
Everybody's up.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of, still going at a good rate of speed, giving a lot of effort, but it's clean and it's up. And that's,
you're
trying to stay away from injuries as much as you can.
I know this. If you come into these OTAs and you're not in good shape, you ain't going to be here for very long. These guys are, they're not like us. We didn't
have training camp to get into shape.
Right. And right, so they're in great shape. And there's no need to have these guys, busting. To me, it's all about assignments. This is all about assignments, learning schemes, learning terminology, learning where you're supposed to be, learning. And so I usually come out with, and I've been thinking about this, I usually every year come out with my, they got to get better at this,
right?
I think a couple years ago, they got to get better at penalties, and they haven't done that for a couple years.
Right.
And so hopefully this is the year,
right,
they do that. A couple years later, it was something else. You know what my pet peeve is this year?
What?
Backside contain, because I've watched too many times where that quarterback, quarterback runs a naked boot. All the flow action goes this way.
You lose your leverage and he's outside of you.
The quarterback runs that naked boot. Your backside contain guy thinks he's going to stop a sweep on the other sideline. So he's busting ass downfield. Meanwhile, the quarterback just spins out and he's sitting there waiting. He got two guys dragging the field.
Right.
Got a tight end underneath, got a deep guy underneath, and got someone going to the corner, and he's just waiting, just boom. And, Dolphins tried to do it against New England, and you know what? That quarterback turns around, and there's a defensive guy
right,
standing. See, look, you ain't going to make that play.
Right.
Stay as deep as the deepest guy when everything goes away, and you stop those. It's an easy fix, and yet I watch it time and time and time again.
This is your easy pet peeve right now?
It is. A couple years ago, they're playing Philadelphia. Right?
Oh,
it was, yeah. Was it Sam Bradford?
Bradford.
Sam Bradford's a quarterback.
Barely run.
Starting the game.
Thank God.
And they must have hit Brent Celek,
yeah,
on that deep tight end crossing.
He had almost 200 yards.
They must have hit five. I'm going, Brent Celek? Are you kidding me? The guy's 60 years old. He's running out
there. Is
that
the game where Rashad had a pick at the end of the game?
I think so.
Close it out?
No, that was actually the game where the backup quarterback came in,
yes,
and threw a pick.
It was the Sanchez.
Sanchez,
right?
Threw it. Yeah. He did throw it to Rashad.
Didn't he throw it to Rashad?
Exactly.
That's right. Right?
That's right.
I think Rashad baited him into the throw or something.
They had a field goal to either tie or win,
yeah,
and he threw the pick. We win the game.
That's
right. Winner, chicken dinner. So anyway,
That's fine. You got an early pet peeve.
Yeah, that's my peeve. I want to see him.
That's right.
I figure if I keep saying it, and when I every time I see Matt Burke, now I'm gonna go, hey, how about that backside contain?
That was buried low.
I will tell you one number Matt Burke doesn't like hearing about: the amount of catches tight ends had in the NFL last year.
You don't like it, you do something about it, right?
Right.
And maybe you do something about it with this kid right here, Raekwon McMillan.
Hey, Raekwon.
What's up, man?
Raekwon?
How'd you sneak in here? How could you sneak in here without
talking
about it?
You must have heard us from outside. Did you hear us from outside? We're so loud.
Something like that. Yeah, y'all got it going on in here.
let me tell you what, bro. You've been working, man.
Yes,
you've been working. We've been doing these stupid shows now for quite a while. And every time, remember we were doing them in the bubble.
We see Raekwon.
Every time
he had a couple guys.
We see them there running around. And you haven't wasted any time getting yourself ready to play, huh?
Yeah, man, it's been a long process. Finally glad to be able to put a helmet on again and get out there and run with the guys.
Not to play doctor, are you close to to being
100%? Man, I did everything out there today. Yeah. So I would say that I'm about where I want to be, but I'm not where I want to be yet personally.
Okay. Well, there's nothing good about you getting hurt last year, but if there's anything to pull out of it is you had a long time to rehab and get yourself ready so you can go through all these OTAs and stuff and get involved in it again. How anxious are you to get back at it and go through? Look, you've been watching tapes, you've been in meetings, you've been doing all that stuff, and it's a frustrating thing to do that your rookie year when you're not playing. So you must just be chomping at the bit to get at this in a big way right now.
Yeah, man, it was frustrating watching last year the guys. Man, when I went down early in the season, I felt like I could have helped the team a lot. And like you said, just chomping at the bit during the offseason, just watching and learning and trying to get back in mentally. So when physically I can do it again, I'm ready to go.
How much can you learn from you around the team all year? You got to see the good and the bad and going through everything with this team. How much does that put you ahead this year and year two for you, just the mental stuff you went through a year ago?
I feel like I got to learn a lot about the NFL game and how it's structured and how the top guys work and even the opposing linebackers, how they work. We were able to play a lot of good linebackers last year, Levante David, Luke Kuechly, the guy from Atlanta, Deion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those guys, they play great ball. So just being able to watch them from the sideline, see how they work, see how they prepare themselves, and also with Kiko Alonso, just picking his brain about the game and just being ready when I come back.
How did it feel to finally get out on the field and be in the middle of that defense and be in the huddle and actually run around? Because it's been such a long time for you. I know you're able to work out on your own and get yourself ready for this point, but it must mean something to you to actually put your pads or put your uniform on or your jersey on, your helmet on, and go out and be with the guys.
Yeah, it feels like all the work I put in the last year is finally coming to fruition because – you know, I wasn't able to walk for a month, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm out there running full speed with the guys. I feel like myself again and just trying to build my confidence back.
It was fun for me to watch the progression because I'd walk through the building and I'd see you kind of hobble around. And then the next month you'd see you less hobble. And then and all of a sudden you're walking around and like, man, I think Raekwon's okay. I think he looks all right. How was it ever really frustrating and then less and less because you saw yourself getting a little bit better and better?
Yeah, it was kind of frustrating because I had Tannehill with me. And Tannehill progressed a little bit faster than me because it was the second time coming around. And some things that I was scared to do, he jumped right in the water. Yeah. And just seeing him push himself daily made me want to push myself also. So just trying to compete with him every day and getting frustrated with him doing more than me at times.
Obviously, you've got to get back used to the physical aspect of it, and certainly when training camp comes around, when you're in the pads and things start going at a faster pace. But from a mental standpoint, having the opportunity all year last year to watch, to look at this, understand the terminology, understand the scheme under Matt Burke, understand what's expected. From a scheme standpoint, are you confident when you step in that huddle, start calling defense? I don't know if you're doing it or Kiko's doing it right now, but to go in there and be that guy. That at some point you're gonna have to say, hey, look, you need to widen out, you need to be here, because you know that middle linebacker, especially if you're making calls, I know usually when I was playing linebacker, they always had to tell me where to go because I never knew where to go anyway. So do you feel good about that aspect of the game?
Yeah, I for sure feel good. I mean, just me being able to sit back, and while I was sitting back, I was still around the guys. Mm-hmm. So I got to know them and they got to know me, and they put their trust in me. So when it was time to come out on the field today, I was the guy with the mic, I was the guy making all the calls in the middle.
Raekwon, you have had a chance to look at, we talk about it every day here, what this team needs to improve on. Just for you, from what you saw a year ago, what are some of the things you'd like to see improve as one of the young leaders on this team?
Exactly that. I would like to see some of the younger guys step up. You know, at times when the older guys weren't making plays, not shots at anybody, at times when we just needed somebody to step up. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's your 10th year in the league or if it's your first year in the league. If you can step up and it's an opportunity, take the opportunity and make the best out of it.
When we had Jerome Baker on the show a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about you as a leader, he said, no, this guy from day one, first time he met you, everywhere you go, he says, this is the guy that's leading the pack. That's just kind of been inbred into you as a football player?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, every level of football that I played on, I've always been middle of the defense. And I've always been told, like, hey, you're the Mike. I mean, just from Little League all the way up to now. Yep. You know, at Ohio State, Jerome was right beside me, and I recruited him to Ohio State.
That's got to feel. You know, I was thinking when I saw they drafted him, I go, man, that's pretty. He played with Raekwon at Ohio State. You come in, they're going to be lined up together again. And I think he's probably going to be the guy that's going to end up there. But we'll see what happens as training camp goes on. It's got to be some comfort to both of you to have familiarity and know a guy that's a friend of yours that comes in that's going to be playing so close. Proximity to where you're at.
Yeah, it helps because he's not scared to ask me questions, and I'm not scared to, like,
tell him
like what it is or what he's doing wrong, mm-hmm. and how can he improve. You know, when I was a rookie, I see the guys, and I see something on the field, but it just wasn't my place yet.
Yeah.
But me, as his older brother, and for knowing him for 5-6 years now, I mean, anything that he needs, he knows he can come to me, whether it's on the field or off the field.
So you know how he plays.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question: Can my man cover a tight end?
Yeah, he can cover tight end.
Oh, boy. Speaking of tight end, that was in there, too.
Yeah.
Raekwon, how do you feel after what happened, special teams? Have they talked about you back on them? Have you talked to coaches how that's going to be treated?
No, I mean, we haven't really had a discussion about it. You know, I mean, whatever the guys ask me to do, you know, I'm going to step up and do it. I'm not defined in any way. But, you know, we got to be smart about it and see how it goes.
Raekwon, I was watching out on the field, and I know one thing for certain. The defense, if they're not in shape, they're going to get in shape really quickly watching you guys play on defense. Explain to everybody listening what you guys are running not only to the ball, but if the ball goes by you, all 11 guys are chasing the ball down to the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that we got away from last year as a defense. You know, we got complacent and the year before making the playoffs. So this year we're just trying to reiterate, you know, turnovers, getting to the ball. You know, the ball's in the air. It's not the offense's ball. It's ours to compete for, too. So, I mean, just aggressive mindset the whole time we're on the field, and you don't get breaks until you're off the field.
You know, you mentioned a little earlier, this is a young football team. You know, your draft class, the draft class before you, the draft class this year, but a lot of young guys that can play the game. You've had a chance to be around those guys. Can that be the core, the foundation that takes this franchise to the level they want to be, and not just a one-time shot at a playoffs and get bumped out in the first game and maybe not make the next, where you can get and be in a contention every year, playoffs and beyond the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, the guys upstairs have done a good job of creating a core of guys who have the same mindset. You know, we're just not trying to be good for 1 year.
Yep.
We're trying to be good for years to come, and together everyone achieves more. If we go out there and play as individuals, then that's what it's going to be. Individuals going to get accolades, and as a team, we're going to be 6-10.
You know, I did a deal with the rookies the other day, and Minka's sitting right kind of across from me, and you know, the coaches all talk about, especially from rookies, hey, take notes. If I know you're into it, if you're taking notes, if you're sitting there just looking at this guy, I tell you, this guy's taking notes about everything. I was talking about some stupid shit, and he's taking notes on that. Yeah. What the hell are you taking notes on?
No, he always said, don't be like this.
He's stealing some of my bits. Stealing some of my stuff out there. But the point being is, it seems to me like you've got the young guys here are committed to being that type of a person where they just, hey, I don't care about South Beach. I don't care about clubs. I care about being the best football player I can be and knowing all the details and knowing exactly not only where I need to be, but where everybody else in this team needs to be.
Yeah, that's what this defense is becoming, man. A bunch of young guys, young, hungry guys, not a bunch of old cats that have been in the league for a long time and just do their own thing.
Yep.
We got to do stuff together, and, you know, that's how it all
works. Well, that's refreshing to hear, boy. Right? I agree. Yeah. That was our team's.
Yeah.
It was a tight group on both sides of the ball, everything together, probably too much. Cost a couple guys' marriages. I can remember one. I can't remember that guy. Anyway, it was me. But I want to ask you about that leadership thing. It's always really interesting because everybody talks about it. Heck, I saw the Marlins had a special the other day. They were talking about developing leaders. So much has been talked about lack of leadership over the last couple of years. You come in, you haven't played yet, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, that guy's been a leader around here. Is that a natural thing? Is something you got to be good to be a leader? How do you look at being a leader? What makes a good leader and not a good leader?
No, you just got to be confident in yourself. Even though I haven't had it snap yet in the NFL, I still feel confident that I'm the leader of this defense. I can be the leader of this mm-hmm. defense. Because if you're not confident in yourself, how can you expect somebody else to be confident in you out there on the field?
A lot of defensive ends on this team, man. You guys are going to try to put a lot of pressure out there on teams. And we were talking about a little bit, you know, depending on what they do with all the defensive backs they got and everything, you may be having a hard time finding some playing time out there. You got to hone your cover game because you don't want to be the guy they say, hey, look, with two linebackers, that guy's out. We'll get some other one in there.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's just something that I got to work on, yeah. Like you said, you know, just to fight and stay on the field.
And what about – how do you feel about your coverage game from where you come?
Man, I feel like my coverage game is all about what you know, not what you can do.
Yep.
What you know about the offense, how they're trying to manipulate you mm-hmm. as a linebacker, the situation they're trying to put you in, and just knowing where you're supposed to be at. If you always know where you're supposed to be, and you're always in the right place, yep. How can they keep you off the field?
Yep.
Rick, I want to ask you a little bit about your jump from year one, which you didn't get to play, to where you're at now and how much you've learned and how much more game ready you are even without even playing a game. Do you feel that you've learned a lot just by being around Matt Burke now and his terminology, the way he coaches, being around your linebacker coach, Coach Bush, and just being around guys? Have you been able to learn a lot without playing a down?
Yeah, I mean, last year I feel like I was named a starter. But towards the beginning of the season, I still would have been a rookie out there throwing into the fire, not understanding much about the NFL game. But now that I'm a year in and got to actually watch and not watching college ball anymore, because college ball is totally different.
Right.
I can watch NFL ball now and I can understand it. And I feel like I'm a vet mentally, but not physically. You know what I'm saying?
And when you're watching those guys on the opposite team that you might want to pick up and garner something from that linebacker or this linebacker, what did you notice about the way they played the game?
Aggressive. I mean, all the best linebackers are aggressive and saw what they saw. And when they saw it, they went 100%. So you see some younger guys hesitant when they're shooting the gap or hesitant about guarding the guy, not knowing where they're supposed to be in the defense and getting beat. And that stands out more than the guy who's always in the right spot. You never hear about the guy who's always in the right spot.
Have you taken some time and looked at other players around the league? I know you have access to tape and other players. Have you looked at other linebackers in the league that you talked about, Keekly that you watched, and some of these other guys that are out there? A lot of great Mike linebackers in this league. Have you looked at any tape on those guys?
Yeah, me and Coach Bush, we sat down, and Coach Vitt also sat down. We watched Levante David, C.J. Mosley, Luke Kuechly, like I said. Deion Jones from the Falcons. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of those linebackers and how they play, some of the aggressive styles. And, you know, all those guys, and Wagner from the Seahawks too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some ball players, and just try to pick little things from their game and some things that they do.
Did Joe Vitt give you some of that old school football knowledge?
Yeah, he for sure gave me some old school. Yeah, because I got to meet with him right after this. Get some old 12 personnel, 22 personnel stuff out of the passing game out of it. Because, you know, nowadays when you hear about 12 and 22, you're thinking run game. But the Patriots are starting to bend it a little bit.
Yeah.
13, 12, 22 is more of a pass game for them. You would think it's a run game. So that's what we're looking at right now. So hopefully that helped me out during the season.
So you've been around for a while. Yeah, had some time to get around. What do you like to do in South Florida? What do you do when you're not you know what? Because I always get the same question, same answer. Oh, I just go home and play video games.
Nah.
You fish? Did you pick up fishing?
No, I didn't pick up fishing. I'm more of a I love cars. Yeah. I love old cars. I recently got a 69 Camaro.
Oh, awesome.
1969 Camaro.
What color?
All black.
Yeah.
Black inside.
Not convertible.
No, not convertible. No.
That's a nice car.
I'm into cars, and you know, I love going down to the dealerships, just picking the brains of some of the. I recently went down and met the owner of Lamborghini down in Miami, and just picked their brains. But you know, I'm a chill guy. I like to go to South Beach on the beach, and just relax, man.
Oh man!
Hey, so now you're established in South Florida. But we were talking earlier about. A camp. Is it a kids camp coming up?
Oh, yeah. You're hosting your youth football camp coming up on June 23rd. Yeah. It's certainly a great thing to do. What made you – look, you've been rehabbing the whole time. I would think your mind would be on that, but you're making time to do some stuff for the youth down here in South Florida. And look,
awesome.
This team for a long time has been a big advocate for reaching out to the community, and it's nice to see you jumping and doing this. What got you involved in this program?
Yeah, I mean, I've always told myself that once I make it to the next level, I've always will give back to the community. And one way that I do it is this year I'm throwing a camp back home in South Georgia, a free camp for guys and girls ages 5 to 17, and just to come out and have fun as a community, just to bring us together. Because when I was growing up, it was kind of like we weren't together. And you kind of just did your own thing back there. But I'm trying to bring everybody together so we can rally as a
big football country too, boy. That South Georgia is right.
Yeah, I don't get that much love down there anymore because I went to Ohio State.
Yeah, the Bulldog fans aren't real happy with you.
Yeah, the Bulldog fans were mad at me for a little while, but my freshman year I went up and won a natty and came back, and they showed me love after that.
Well, and it's nice because you go back to your hometowns or where you're from or those kind of areas, and most times that's the only time these guys will ever get a chance to see a guy that's playing in the National Football League or guys they bring along, and so it's always special for them to have guys like you come out and do it. And so I commend you for doing that. It should be a lot of fun for you. Yeah. You bring along anybody, or are you going solo on this one?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring a couple of my teammates down. Tony Lippert already told me he's coming down. I'm going to make Jerome come.
He
got no choice. And I got a couple guys I went to high school with, Richard LeCount from University of Georgia, be there. And so we should have a good time.
Awesome. Yeah, it was fun watching Georgia this last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, man.
That's some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they almost had one. He almost brought one home, too. Yeah. So hopefully they can get another one.
Hey, before we let you go, Matt Burke, you spent time with him. What do you think about him and his ideas of playing his defense?
He come from some great coaching lines, and he has a lot of knowledge in his mind. And if he can get the guys to play how he wants us to play, like if we just did what he said and how he says it in the meetings, then I don't see why this defense could be a top five defense in the league. It's all about getting the right guys in the room and knowing what we're doing.
It's good stuff, man. Right. Raekwon, pumped up. You got everybody fired up, man. Just good
stuff. Great to have you back.
Yeah, I know we're all looking forward to seeing you on the football field, especially after watching how hard you've worked and where you're at right now. And, man, we're just proud of the way you've handled the situation and looking forward to getting you on the field. And I can't wait to see you knock the shit out of somebody. Quite frankly.
Yes,
is that all right for me to say?
Oh, fine. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay?
Make some physical tackles is what Bo meant.
Raekwon,
thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Raekwon.
Appreciate
looking forward
it, buddy.
To playing. So, anytime. By the way, anytime you want to come on. Tell Renzo, you come on when you want to come in, not when he wants
you
to.
You like
come
doing
in.
This stuff, right? You like to come back and do this stuff. It's better than being with the writers, or would you agree? Or
no, it's way better being back here. Yeah, they try to hold you hostage in there. So
yeah, that's it. Thanks, all right, Raekwon. Appreciate it, man. Good stuff, man. Good kid. Good. And like I said, Joe, we've seen him. We've seen this kid work.
Hey, listen, man. He just talking about the young, aggressive guys staying together. Man, that's stuff that this team
needs.
I like best. We talked about, hey, this can be the core. This can be the group. I go back. I go back to when I came in, it was me and Duriel Harris and Lord McCreary, and then AJ and Baumhauer came in. Then we had Dwight and Don McNeil, and you put together.
Put
together draft classes of young guys. And I think really this is the third, to me, the fourth draft class where they've got some pretty young guys out of this thing, enough to have a nucleus where you can grow together, learn. You get that point when, I remember playing with these guys where I look over at Bob Baumhauer in a game, wouldn't even say a word, and he knew exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I knew what he was thinking. And you only get that by playing together for a long
time.
That
continuity, man.
And you're not going to get that with free agents because they come and go. But these guys, these draft guys, the guys that are drafted that can be here for 5 or 6 years, that's where you get that kind of continuity.
I just look, Bo, you talk about when this team, I talked about on the radio this morning, when we were winning, I look back and the names, and you're right, it was 4 or 5 drafts in a row, and we had a nice little run with all that stuff, and guys that got along great that could play.
Yeah, it was all about just winning football games.
That's all it was.
Joe, and the greatest thing about, look, football's not a fun game.
Unless you win.
Winning football,
yeah,
it makes football fun. The practices, the training camps.
By the way, football practice of all the sports is by far the worst.
Yes. Yeah.
To go out and train all the time for one sport, football, is just.
And especially you do that because you're doing it, whether you're winning or not, you're still doing the same thing. But it's got to be miserable to go through all that work and not
have
football
a chance.
Games. No, it's miserable. So I'm really hoping that this young nucleus really can be that yeah. group that springboards this team into being that kind of a team.
You look at the names. You look at the team, and they're there.
Yep.
You know, you have another draft class and have success with the guys they drafted this year, and you plug them into Tunsil's, and you plug them into Bobby McCain, you plug them into Devontae Parker, and you plug them into Juwan, and you keep going, Tankersley, now you got, Drake, you feel
you
good
get
about.
You core of eight or nine guys, those group of guys you talked about, which, by the way, all happen to be mostly first, second, or third round picks, and you hit those three or four classes, draft classes, and that needs to be the core. I think the upside of our left tackle and our wide receiver,
I
debate guys every day, both former first-round picks, pretty high first-round picks. I mean, those guys got a chance to be really dominant players.
They've got a chance, but, Joe, they've got to get there. And no one's going to get them there except for themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
It's got to come within. They know what they're they've been around this offense. They know what it is. They know what their jobs are. Now they got to just get it to the highest level they
Jordan,
can.
Listen, I think Jordan Phillips, at times, he just, I don't know if he's mad or what, but he can flat out play.
Yeah. Dominates people. Yeah.
Just we saw him get better. I just want to see the next step. Yeah. Seems to be, maybe we ought to do a show, the next step.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right, let's what do you say we take some questions from some people?
Perfect.
Twitter, Rob Try Two Putt. That would be Rob, that would be Kim Three Putt if I was doing that.
But, no, those are good.
No matter how far away
it doesn't matter.
That third one's good.
It's
I don't
good.
Care how far
I'm
away.
I'm not putting it. And I'm not arguing with you.
It's good. Pick it up.
On Quentin Poling, finally, a Bobcat is a Dolphin. I've watched this guy make plays through his Bobcat career, and he is legit. Ohio University. I like when he was in and out. The Ohio University. Quentin Poling. But look, I'm going to tell you what. You get past Jerome, Raekwon, and Kiko, and my man Quentin is in a dogfight.
He is.
He's in a dogfight for special teams, backup position, and there's a lot of hungry linebackers out there, including the guys we had last year, the young guys, Mike Hull, Chase Allen, those guys were here. You talk about Stephon Anthony, and then you throw this group in there. And they're going
that's going to be great competition.
It is.
You look at linebackers. And by the way, Bo, that's a great point. There are a lot of guys played a lot of football. You just named a couple of them last year. Yep. That is exactly, hey, guys, it's great to have this rookie class. I guess we're in trouble. They're going to be fighting you.
And he mentioned, how about Tony Lippett coming back? All the football he played in 2016. Meaningful football. Good football he played. I'm interested to see what he's going to look like coming back. So, it's going to be fun watching all these guys compete. Jared Castillo from Facebook, what position are you guys most interested in watching during OTAs? Also, what individual player is the most intriguing during this time? I'm going to just say I want to watch the secondary. I like the depth in the secondary. I like Minka in there coming in and adding to it, whether he's going to be a nickel guy, whether he's going to be a corner. And look, he's got two guys in there in Tank and X that have played a lot of downs. X became into
That's
his
right.
own last year. Yeah. Tank, you see him get better as the year goes on. So I wouldn't say that, you know, I think Minka's going to be, when I say a starter, he's going to be playing in the nickel or dime pack. He's going to be playing in one of those packages
he's gonna
no,
be
no
out
matter
there.
What. And to me, if you're one of those guys in this league this day, that's the same as being a starter.
It is. Right.
It's going to be, so that's what I want to see. Because improvement in pass coverage, especially with the tight ends, is to me is paramount. For this football
and
team.
And on the other side of the ball, can't score 17 points a game. And how do you get better offensively? I'm looking of the upside of the highest we've drafted a tight end in a long time, Mike Gesicki. I'm all aboard on his athletic ability and now learning how to run routes, get separation, use his body, and see what he can do year one.
I'm right with you. I think position-wise, I want to see how fast he can learn the pro game, how many places can they put him on the offense in a lineup at slot, at wideout, at his traditional tight end spot, motion him across. How many mismatches can you get for this guy, and how fast can he accept it? But the one guy on offense that makes – I know Ryan is the guy, and he's the guy, the trigger guy, but if Devontae Parker raises his level, it's going to make everybody's job easier on the outside.
If he's healthy, he's going to be good. Yeah. The question with Devontae is once he gets nicked up, he's going to get nicked up. He just is. What can he play like?
Twitter, enough Twitter question from at Enough Said. Definitely want Kalen Ballage to on the Finns as an ASU alum and lifelong Dolphin fan. He's going to be a dangerous weapon in the NFL if utilized properly. Here's a guy, you talk about a guy with a chip on his shoulder. Here's a guy that's got a chip on his shoulder. What is he, the 12th running back taken?
Yeah.
Which to him is like, it's like standing there and slapping him in the face seven or eight times.
He felt disrespected down at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Coming out of there, everybody was talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 running backs before him. And this is the guy, you meet him, you go, oh, my God.
The big body.
He's 6'2", he's 230.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's got a good jump on this thing because when I asked the front office who they like and most excited about, besides the obvious, Ballage's name came up every time, number one. Like, yeah, he can run and he can catch and he can do a lot of things. And he got two really good guys to learn that will help him get better.
Well, when you look at Kenyon, you look at Gore, and Kenyon just coming, talk about guys coming to his own. You know, when he got the opportunity, he certainly came into his own, showed how productive he can be as a running back. You throw in Frank Gore, who's going to certainly be a guy that can mentor along with Ballage in this thing. But don't count out the fact that he's still got some game in him, too, both catching the ball. You got guys that can do multiple things, catch, run the ball. You know, the question with a guy like Ballage is going to be how is he going to be how's he going to be stepping up and blocking, protecting the quarterback, doing all those. Because that's always a tough thing for these guys coming to this league.
I know Frank's going to do a lot of it, but somebody's going to have to take the Damian Williams role on this football team to be able to not only block and come in on third down, but catch it out of the backfield and go. Now, Kenyon, Frank, they're going to probably share a lot of the duties, but somebody else that can play special teams, because neither one of those guys are, is somebody else going to have to do that.
I think Damian's one of those guys. I was like, I just kind of the back of my head going, man, let him stay, because that guy – we talked about a lot last year, the last couple of years. All he did was win in the game, was made plays.
Yeah.
You know, every time he got in, he made a play.
He got injured, though. Yep. And boy, I'll tell you what, see guys get injured and they forget you real quickly.
Yeah.
And forget about you getting a new contract.
Yeah. Lester Miller, Facebook, what are you guys watching during OTAs? Can you even tell a lot about the players and team, even though they aren't allowed to put pads on or have contact? I'm to me, you know, without contact, you know, you can watch skill players. You know, you can watch receivers against DBs. You can watch tight ends against linebackers.
They're learning, though. The rookies are so far behind.
Yeah.
They're learning stuff, and they're running half speed thinking, is this the right adjustment I'm supposed to make? Yeah. Oh, God, was this 7 route? Was I supposed to go underneath or over the top?
I think that was my guy that just went right by me.
Yeah. Well, you know, right, that too.
Stuff changes so fast in the league. You know, I remember when I first came in, you go, okay, all right, I got one coverage. This is what I got. I got the deep outside. I got to get out to the O cut. I got to get out there. And then all of a sudden they switch it, and now we've got the weak. Yeah. Now I got the weak back man to man. And then all of a sudden the weak back flies out. I'm like, oh, do I go with him or do I not go with him? Next thing you know, they snap the ball, and I'm standing nowhere. I'm going, what's going on here, man? And the coach going, what are you doing out there?
That's the follow-up right there. Here it comes.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? I bet these young guys don't even realize it's that much different because the amount of times that they're actually in pads now in the National Football League, even in training camp, they're practicing at a high level at pretty close to 100% speed without anything on, just helmets and shells. And they're getting used to moving at that pace.
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps the tackling. I don't know if it helps a lot of the other things that come without, you know, the old school way of doing it. But I think they get used to practicing at a high rate this way.
And I think what you're going to see through these OTAs, I would expect from a coaching standpoint on both offense and defense, to get your guys into as many of those. It's all about reps. The more you see it, the more it becomes instinctively to you. Early on, everybody out there is going through the ABCs. Okay, you know, back comes this way. A, I step here. You know, he flares out. Boom, B, I go there. You know, it's an ABC. You know, but with these OTAs and as many reps as they can get during these things, you hope that when training camp comes, it becomes natural to these guys.
Yeah.
And they're not going through look, we've seen guys out there that, you know, 6 weeks into the season, they still look like they're going through the ABCs.
I think that's why Adam Gase does it the way he does it. There is no rookie camp on the field. There's no rookie, just, you know, 30 guys that are out there running around with the undrafted free agents. It's in the classroom. You're learning, you're going out, and then you maybe have a walkthrough or you have something going on individually. You go work on it on yourself. Now, day one, when you're out on phase three, you feel like you've got a little bit of semblance of, you've got recall because you've had it in meetings.
You know what else, John and Bo? There's no excuses now. You have almost one coach per two players.
Right.
You're talking about 24, 25 coaches on a staff, not eight or nine or whatever we had. You got so much individual coaching. You can always grab a coach.
And, you know, Joe, you know, if you wanted to watch tape, you had to bring that old 8mm projector home, and
that's true.
You had to have a razor blade and some tape. And when you broke, now you know these guys all got iPads.
Yeah,
they can pull up virtually anything they want to pull
anytime.
Up.
That's right.
And watch. Oh, see, look, I want to watch all the tight ends in the AFC East on second and long, third and medium, third and long, every play. And you go and boom, there it is. You know,
they break down everything, man.
Yeah.
By the time these guys get home, they've already seen the game 14 times.
Yeah.
20 directions if they want to.
I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they, after a game, sit on that plane and watch the game tape themselves. Last thing I wanted to see when I got in there, first thing I wanted to see was two beers and a burger.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Then I wanted to get some pain pills.
Hey, I was just going to say, hey, do you have any extra those?
Then I wanted to get a muscle relaxer. Then I wanted three more beers. And at that point, all I wanted to do was MF everybody on the plane.
Bo, one of the greatest trips I've ever taken, I was playing in the Canadian Football League, and we were in Vancouver. And our plane, our charter plane had some kind of malfunction. So we had to get on a regular plane on the way back. Okay. So everybody goes out. We all go out, and we have a great time. We only had to be back at the airport like 11:30, quarter to 12. Plane was leaving at 12:30. So everybody has a great time. Now, we're walking on the plane. We're going through regular families and stuff, and everybody's half in the shitter. Everybody's walking through the back. Hey, Mom, how are you? You know, walking through. So we get to our section of the plane, and all of a sudden the girl's coming with the beverage cart, right before if anybody needs anything. Nobody needed anything. They were taking things off of them.
Right.
Hey, has anybody got any of those pills left? Yeah, here's one, Joe. Pop, throw you over the thing. It was the worst.
Yeah.
It was the worst trip ever for the people that paid to be on that plane.
I know Bo remembers a trip to Oakland where it broke down, man.
We were in Oakland.
It was a trash bag.
We went to play the Raiders, and like usual, they kicked our ass. Every time we went to Oakland, we got our ass kicked in that sloppy, wet field that they had. And so now we're getting ready to go back, and we get to the airport. Plane's not there. It's fogged in down in L.A.
Can't get out.
So we couldn't go anywhere. So they cleared out one of the airport bars.
Right.
Right? And put us all in the airport bar.
Oh.
And we sat there, and we sat there, and we sat there. And I was one of the last guys getting on the plane. And I'm stumbling in there, and the bartender's there, and I said, hey, give me a bottle of scotch. He goes, we're all out. I go, give me a bottle of vodka. He says, all out. I go, what do you have left? And he says, I got that. I think they had some dry sack or something, sherry. Give me that, Bar was completely cleaned out. I remember walking down the aisle on the plane, and every guy's kind of like landed. Everyone's got a bottle kind of stuck there in their arm. And it was disgusting. It was such.
I've never seen an NFL team so trashed.
Oh,
on a
long. We must have been in that. We must have been in that bar
home
for 2 hours, two, three, and then you had to fly from Oakland
back home.
And back in the day,
we had to stop
in Houston. And refuel, and then
our plane didn't make it all the way. We had to make some stops.
No, we had to stop when we used to fly. We had to stop in Houston. They had to bring three guys out and spin the propeller the other way until the rubber band got real tight.
That's so bad.
It might be a little BS, but he ain't far off.
No, but we did make a stop. We went out. We had to stop in Houston.
Yeah.
Stopped at the same gate every time. Because you could go out, and there was a bathroom right there, and there was a little concession stand right there where you get something. And, it was brutal.
Times have changed.
Yeah, they have. Pacific Finn Fan 1 on Twitter. Durham Smythe going to be hard for coaches to get off the field once he gets a chance. He's going to do so well. I like Durham Smythe. I like the idea. Look, we've said it time and time again. They love two tight ends. They like to go three tight ends. And you got both these guys out there. And I got a feeling that everything we've heard pre-draft, that Smythe is a better receiver than he gets credit for. And Gesicki is probably a better blocker than he gets credit for.
Yeah, I just think the learning curve of how much of a sponge they can be in terms of playing fast, as you said, Joe, earlier. I had my thinking as I'm going down, playing fast, being accountable, and being receptive to where Ryan wants these young guys to be in terms of, hey, I want you to be on an angle, but I need your head around quicker. Right. Or, you know, all the little things that they're going to have to pick up on.
They didn't come in as second and fourth round picks, so to be sitting around. At the end of the, they came in, they're here to play.
No. Okay, so hey, before we wrap it up, let me remind you guys, OTAs and mini camps. None of the OTAs are open to the public,
no,
I'm assuming.
No, not until training camp.
No mini. So nothing's open to the public, but just so you guys know, they're in the middle of the 22nd to the 24th, 29th. So virtually for the next 3 weeks, they're going to have 3 days of practice every week. And then June 5th through 7th will be the mandatory mini camp. Well, you can call this voluntary all you want, but if you don't volunteer,
everybody's
to come here,
here.
If you don't volunteer to come here for that, you're probably not going to hear. Here for the mandatory meeting.
Well, the only guys that aren't here in the NFL, the guys all pissed off that are really good players about their contract.
They can't do anything about it. Yeah, you can't get rid of that guy. Now Tom Brady's not coming out. Let's get rid of that guy.
Gronk.
Right. Well, what about the news of Richie Incognito being out there in the free agent market now?
Richie was a little salty that he was asked to take a cut.
Yeah.
He got out. It worked.
He did work.
He got out. Oh, my liver, my kidney.
Yeah, I'm going to shut down.
I'll deal with that later.
I'm a free agent. Yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, too. That's going to do it. Joe Rose, John Kinjemi, Kim Bocamper. We'll catch you guys next time.